Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Were people really upset there, Tyler?
Really?
They should be.
Really?
I'm just
kidding. Really? I feel like Brandon Scott's going to stop talking to me now.
Skeezy.
Said this list is criminal. Criminal.
I thought it was pretty solid overall.
Some Menudo fans were upset here on the text line.
Oh, boy, I didn't think about that.
I saw it. They were under consideration. Just didn't make it. That is a popular one that is rolling through.
I don't know if that was a wise decision. I think you probably could have got him in six or made it seven. Should have made it seven.
should have got him in there.
That was coming from a guy that's dropped the ball a time or two. I think that was a drop of the ball.
That was a drop of the ball?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, yeah. Somewhat. Jonas Brothers were snubbed. Big Time Rush was snubbed. Yeah.
Hands down for me on your list, it ain't even close. Boys to Men.
Yeah, them as number one. They've been number one a year.
I mean, for what it's worth, I'm not a boy band.
They are
guy.
The most decorated.
I'm not a boy band guy. I didn't even think about the Jackson 5 when you first started the deal. But for me personally, I mean, it's Boys to Men than the rest.
They are the most decorated.
I would not have guessed that.
Yeah. I should say the Jackson 5 somehow did not win any Grammys in the time, but they have like three or four songs that are retired and are Grammy that became Grammys for the songs or whatever they inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame. Excuse me. Some of those songs. Yeah. Not bad. People in here with the, like, yeah, Jodeci, those guys are indifferent. That's a different category. Like, and some of you, like, Texan and Guy, come on, guys. Let's go. I'm not comparing them with some of these others.
Jodeci lately?
Yeah.
That song in particular holds a special place in my heart.
Yeah, listen, that may be another one. That may be a random top six R&B bands. But I think that's a bit of a difference in that. All right, As we continue through, remember coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, your second opportunity to win a 4-pack of tickets VIP tickets to Texans training camp. We've already hooked somebody up. Who won that first one, Tyler?
Our guy Philip, aka P Smooth.
All right, P Smooth. Philip won our first 4-pack of VIP tickets. There will be another 4-pack hooked up to somebody here in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll do it each and every hour as well. All right, Clint. They ESPN ranked the top or all 32 rosters in the NFL. And the Texans were ranked 13th. They were ranked 13th. The Buccaneers at 12 before ahead of them. And then the Packers, which I'm a bit surprised. I feel like people thought the Packers roster was better than it is, than 14th. But the Packers right behind them at 14 and the Bears at 15. That's they're in that second part there of the top 15, the bottom part of the top 15. They're at 13. They say their biggest strength is edge rushers, which I think I would agree with. Their biggest weakness was not offensive line, Clint. It was the interior defensive line. Offensive line was a strong candidate, but the D-tackle situation is arguably a larger concern. Their X factor for this year is their top draft pick, Jaden Higgins, who will be filling in for the likes of Tank Dell, or replacing the likes of Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs there. And so when we look at it, the top five, Clint, are the Ravens, Eagles, Lions, Bills, and Chiefs. And in the AFC, obviously the three teams we've talked about, the Ravens, Bills, and Chiefs. Before I kind of get into digging the comparison with them, does 13 feel right to you? 13, you know, top half of the bottom portion, but still the top half of the league in terms of talent on the roster.
Yeah, look, I think when you get into 13 to say 20, 13 to 22, somewhere in there, I mean, I think we're really splitting hairs. This is obviously a defensive-heavy roster. I mean, offensively, I think they leave a lot to be desired. I disagree with the interior defensive line being a bigger problem than the offensive line.
I did
look at this, by the way. This is, they have Titus Howard playing tackle in their starting lineup. So I do wonder how much due diligence went into that right there. But the offensive line to me is a major issue. Even if it works out, you still don't have any top-end talent that you're leaning into. Wide receiver, it is extremely top-heavy with Nico Collins. No disrespect to Christian Kirk, but it is what it is. Like 13 may be a tad bit high.
Given, you thought they'd be a little bit lower.
Yeah, given what this offense is going to have to deal with, I would have thought that. I was surprised that they were at 13.
I would not have thought the Packers would be below them. Like when I kind of just saw that, I would have thought the Packers would have been ahead of them. Their offensive line is a little bit more intact. Their receiving core, the kids that they've drafted and things like that. So I would have thought a little bit higher. But listen, it's not a huge surprise because the Texans have a lot of real top talent, right? Derek Stingley, Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, Nico Collins, you mentioned, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and C.J. Stroud, who I think has a lot of.
I think Joe Mixon is a top 10 back. You got Dalton Schultz. Obviously, I'm keep it real about what last year looked like for him. He's still, a year ago he was a top 10 preseason tight end in the game. Nick Chubb a year ago was a top 5 running back in the game. So you've got some sleepers there as well, not just the big names that were on the top 10. You got some sleepers that are 1 year removed and could vary. Yeah, lurking's a good way to put it. You got some guys that are 1 year removed and very close to being on there with a little bit of a better year this year, could be on there again.
Yeah, and I think maybe, like you said, when you look at the lineups they had there, you wondered how much they put in it. I wonder how much stock they put into guys. Like, I know I'm really high on Kalen Bullock. Like, I think there's a real chance he's one of those guys that's potentially lurking, right? Jalen Petrie, you wonder how they view him. Some guys like Christian Harris, they didn't have in the starting rotation. We'll see about where he is tomorrow. But 13th.
The other thing there, Ron, is the X factor for 2025. Oh, yeah. I disagree with that one, too. I think Jaden Higgins is going to be big. I mean, if you talk about this offense being able to go win games when the defense actually slips up. But if we're just talking about, like, righting some of the wrong, like having an answer for some of the issues from last year, I'm at a point where I think Tomlinson is probably the
more on the
X factor. I mean, because I just believe that Laken Tomlinson is a guy that's had a history with D'Amico Ryans. Therefore, D'Amico Ryans knows exactly who he is. That is the source of, hey, we need to bring this guy in here. D'Amico Ryans is the one that's saying we got to set this tone and this standard and this accountability in the O-line room. And so connecting all the dots through D'Amico Ryans, I think Laken Tomlinson is the guy that's not only got to play a really sound left guard, but he's also got to help set that standard up front with this offensive line. And so I think he's probably the real X factor. I understand an offensive lineman is not obviously going to be a sexy pick there, but I like Jaden Higgins to do some highlight reel type stuff. I do wonder in the first half of this season how much Jaden Higgins we actually see.
It's interesting because the first year they were there, the D'Amico and CJ were here, and they surprised. Maybe they're feeling like he could be like a Tank Dell impact, because I think Tank Dell is somebody that you could argue before he got injured the first year was an X factor, someone that you didn't count on to play the way he did. Third round pick.
And I know this isn't what you're saying, but just going like Tank Dell is a guy that especially against second corners and, creating separation, was elite. Route running, elite. With the offense he ran in college, really, really savvy. I don't know how knowledgeable, but really savvy in the sense of feeling soft spots in zones and knowing where to sit down. If Higgins has just a hair of all that in there, he's going to be really good at 6'4", 6'5", whatever the hell he is. I think it's going to take a little longer for him to get comfortable than maybe some of the other guys we've seen.
And as we look at it, within this, they are 13th, but Clint, only the Bengals, Broncos, Chiefs, Bills, and Ravens. Those are the AFC teams that are in front of them. But we know the top three, the Bills, Chiefs and Ravens are the ones that's kind of the hump that they're trying to get over. One of those teams. Last year it was the Chiefs that knocked them out. The year before that, it was the Ravens that knocked them out. And they kind of seem to be in that tier underneath those three. Clint, what do they have to do? If this is fair, those three teams in the top five and them at 13, obviously there's a talent difference between them overall. How do they make up for that? What ways are they able to make up the difference in talent? Because it's not like it's impossible, right? We've seen teams who, by whether it be injury or whatever, make up the difference in talent and are able to move on. What is it that they would have to do?
Well, I think we talked about it a little earlier. There is an enormous amount of pressure on Nick Caley, and I think on several fronts, this thing is layered, right, with Nick Caley. But the one that pertains to the discussion that we're having right now is simple. I mean, Nick Caley, beyond the energy and the vibe that he puts off, the most talked about thing, and maybe this is just offensive coordinators as a whole in today's game, but I think it's true with what they've said about him is the ability to get the playmakers the football and allow them to win with their strengths and not have to win left-handed, so to speak. He's got to get whatever he's got to get the best out of the best, right? So CJ Stroud, Nico Collins, Joe Mixon, you know, those guys have to continue doing what they did last year. And then you look to that second tier, guys that should be first tier. Dalton Schultz, he's got to get the best out of Dalton Schultz, right? Nick Chubb is a guy that if you can get more than people expect out of Nick Chubb, then you're doing something. If Christian Kirk, if he can just be used in a way that he's a weapon against pressure and then let him do Christian Kirk explosive things, that is a big – I think it starts the – because you're looking at 1, 4, and 5 in this ranking, right? Take it for what it's worth. But you're looking at 1, 4, and 5, the Ravens, Bills, and Chiefs, and you're sitting at 13. You want to close that gap significantly, then Nick Caley's got to – like Dalton Schultz can't be pedestrian. Right, he's got to be a difference maker. And however that happens, he's got to be a difference maker. Christian Kirk's got to. I don't care statistically, but he's got to have the impact on games the way that we've seen him. We saw him impact games in Jacksonville. Right, Chubb again. The Chubb thing. Chubb's got to just. You got to get enough out of Chubb or Woody Marks or Damian Pierce, whoever the hell it is. Yeah. You've got to get enough out of them where people ain't talking about how wore down Joe Mixon is in week 16, 17, 18. Right. I mean, so. I think it starts there, and then you've got, you know, Nico's got to have a monster year. CJ clearly has to have a monster year if you're going to make up this kind of ground.
713-572-4610. I see Cornbread, Kick Rocks, Let Nick Cook on YouTube and Twitch jumping in. How do they make up? How do the Texans make up the talent difference of the teams they're chasing? And I think what you're saying is spot on. Like I said, we've seen it. Somehow – the Steelers, I don't think their roster had any business of them getting to the postseason and at times leading that division or close to leading that division last year. But, or, well, hell, what they've done over the past, you know, 3-4 years, making some of these playoffs they've made and having winning records. But Mike Tomlin and his staff somehow make up the difference for a roster that probably should be a losing record roster, but they jump up. Right, we saw it. We've seen it with Belichick and company. They're some of those Patriots rosters were not rosters that should have gotten to where they eventually were able to get to. But I think they made up the difference with Tom, and then a great staff. The Chiefs to me last year are a team. The last 2 years, their roster didn't scream.
No doubt,
get there, but they made up probably 10 spots and beat teams with Mahomes and Reed and their staff and Spagnuolo. That usually is it. So I heard you're saying Nick Caley. I think to me it's probably D'Amico, Nick Caley, and then CJ probably in there that have to make up the difference for them to close that gap.
Without a doubt, Ron, the CJ dynamic here is absolutely huge. You want to close that gap in a minute? I mean, quickly? Then let Nick just be a competent offensive coordinator across the board. in every aspect. Just be competent. Just be average in the NBA, and then C.J. Stroud get back to playing the kind of ball that the quarterback that he played his rookie year, and you'll close that gap significantly. Now, you want to close it and be legit toe-to-toe with those guys, then Nick's got to be an absolute horse at the play-calling position.
All right, it's Tuesday. Let's do a little real or fake. I say a statement. You tell me if it's real or if it's fake. We will do that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Like Greg, I don't think the Texans have a big gap between them and those top teams. They just have to execute, LOL.
Yes. All right, Bobby. Is that Black Greg as Bobby Slowick? In his Bobby Slowick voice?
Because you just pull landscaping duty.
Ah, wonder what Bobby's doing in Miami.
I like to picture him on a beach somewhere, just relaxing, less stress in his life.
Yeah, he seems like he just lives in stress, though. I don't.
Wearing that big ass hat.
And he's another one like you. Bobby Slowick has fantastic hair.
Does he?
Fantastic.
I really didn't know that.
It pissed me off when I saw him. Just like it does with you. Pissed me smooth off.
At least I'm not wearing them big ass Sandlot Smalls hats like him.
Yeah, man. Bobby was on the old flag football circuit in the old neighborhood. Nicholas played against his son a few times. Bobby came out there. I mean, almost didn't recognize him because he had a hat on and the hair was, I mean, it is full, Tyler. A lot of different ways to go with it, too.
I honest to God would have guessed he was maybe balding a little bit.
Oh, yeah. He, like, very much like you, he wears hats like he's balding. You're running those guys? And I'll never forget, man, I had he wasn't a roommate, but he was a suite mate in college. And he would not be caught dead without his hat on. I remember one time, you know, just went to go to his room to grab something, knocked on the door, knock, you know, three times, then open. And he was laying in his bed. I mean, you thought dude was in there going to town.
Trying to crack one off, huh?
Rub one out.
Nah, he wasn't doing, boy. He was in that bed without that hat on. And he went.
scrambling for it.
Who are you? He had three of them at the ready and got that bad boy on there. I saw the front of it. I came back into my roommate, and I said, dang, TJ, he is serious about this hair, man.
Some goofball in a hat.
I said, would it be mean if we went in there and just hit all his hats one day?
He stole all his hats.
Oh, I wish you would have.
I don't have the heart to do that. I could tell, man, that was on his – that was a big thing to him, that damn hat. But no, nah, man, he had good hair. Disappointed that he wore that hat so often. All right, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this. Let's do a little real or fake. I say a statement. You let me know if it's real or fake. Tyler, I'll start with you. Real or fake, Bryce Matthews needs to be the Astros' everyday second baseman moving forward. Real or fake?
Ooh, could ultimately in the coming days be very, very true, but right now I think that's fake. I think you're talking about as decent as he's been and as not nightmarish as it could have been, this Altuve and left field thing, still odd to see that little guy out there every day. And I like him where he's become the GOAT at second base. So I got to say fake for now.
You got fake, huh?
But I'm not saying that won't change.
Real or fake, Bryce Matthews needs to be the Astros' everyday second baseman moving forward.
Yeah, I'm going to say fake. I'm going to say fake because I think the reality is, I think when it matters, Altuve is going to be back there and Yordan's going to be in left field if guys get healthy. Or is this a because everybody's hurt kind of deal?
I'm talking about moving forward.
I would leave him at second base until guys start getting healthy and you have your normal options and make a decision at that point. So I'm going to say fake. I'm going to say fake at this point in time. I hadn't seen enough.
Pow says fake. Champ Slice says fake way too early. He is the future, but the future isn't here yet. I'll be damned. I got real on this, fellas. I think the game plan, the start of the season, I know for you, Clint, you have repeatedly said, I just don't believe Altuve is going to be in the outfield when games that matter. I don't think that's the case. I think they want his play at second base. I know he hit the two home runs. You see that double play he turned yesterday and the arm that he has. Mm-hmm. And then if you bring him up here, you've decided to bring up your number one prospect. I know there were injuries, but you decided to bring him up to play second base. He should be playing second base because the plan was Altuve and who, Rogers?
Yeah.
At second, maybe Dubon at second. Well, if that was the plan to begin with, and they have issues with his defense, I'm talking about Altuve's at second base, then maybe this is the thought. So I'm going to say real. I agree with you, Cornbread. I'm going to say real on that one. All right, real or fake, Clint, we'll start with you. The Texans will have multiple All-Pros this year, not Pro Bowlers, multiple All-Pros this year.
Yes, I do believe. And I'll go a step further. I'll tell you, I think it's going to be Will Anderson and Nico Collins. I think it's Will Anderson and Nico Collins, and hell, I didn't even think about Derek Stingley.
They had one last year.
He may go back to back, but I like Will Anderson and Nico Collins to really break through this year to that degree, to that level. We need Nico Collins to play like a top three wide receiver and produce like a top three wide receiver. We need Will Anderson to continue on the path that he's on right now and take that next step and get the recognition that he deserves, and I think he'll even more so deserve after this year. So I'm going to say real that they'll have multiple All-Pros this year.
Tyler, real or fake, the Texans will have multiple. Last year they just had one. Derek Stingley Jr. will have multiple All-Pros this year.
Oh, yeah, real. Real, if not 3, 4, maybe even 5. I'm going real on that one.
Maybe even 5.
I'm thinking Will Anderson. Danielle Hunter, Derek Stingley Jr., C.J. Stroud, and one of these running backs.
C.J. Stroud. All right, so usually that's...
Well, it's Nico in there, too.
It's too deep.
6?
It's too deep. Usually, right, there's...
Yeah.
Except for linemen and there's a little bit more there. I'll say real. I think Derek Stingley is, like, he's in it now.
Locked in.
Right, even if he doesn't have interceptions, I think there's just a deal of people aren't going to want to go to
him. Yeah, if he stays healthy.
And to think to me,
bad MF-er.
To be an All Pro, that's 4 spots. I can see Patrick Surtain. I can see Sauce Gardner, who's done it twice. I can see McDuffie, who's done it twice. It's hard to see a 4th one jumping him and him playing poorly enough. Unless, you know, knock on wood, the injury thing hits him. I think Will is prime, even though honestly that's a hard spot. Because All-Pro is not just the AFC. It's all overall. That's a hard spot, but it feels like Will is prime. Nico's a tough one, too. That's a tough one. But that would be – Will and Stingley feel like the guys. That Nico, that's 4 spots at receiver. I think Tyreek Hill might have a bounce-back year. You got Jefferson. You got
Jamar Chase.
Those are the tough ones. Amaron St. Brown is going to have big numbers. Brian Thomas was like 3rd in the league in receiving yards last year. Something like that. All right, so the final one here, real or fake. I'm going to start with you, Clint. Real or fake, Philip Rivers, who just retired, should get into the Hall of Fame. Philip Rivers should get into the Hall of Fame. Real or fake?
Man, I'm not familiar enough with Philip Rivers' overall numbers to bump him up against everybody else. I know he doesn't have the Super Bowls to put him over the top.
What's
obviously,
the feel, so, though, to you from him when he played?
Well, I feel like he was a long-time starter that threw for a boatload of yards. I just don't know where that yardage ranks among all-time quarterbacks. So I would say Philip Rivers. It seems like I would lean yeah.
Yeah, here's Phillip before I get to you, Tyler. You say yeah, you say real. 8-time Pro Bowler. He led the league in passing in 2010, led the league in touchdown passes in 18. 2008 was a big year. He was a one-time all pro. A lot of yards, 421 touchdowns to 200 interceptions. he feels like he's better than Eli Manning when I watched him, just remembering but Eli had those two games over him. I'm going to say fake. But it's tough because I think there are other players in the league that are going to get in his era that I think he's actually better than. And Eli would be one of them, but they've got Super Bowls, and I don't even think Phillips never even been to a Super Bowl. He went to one AFC title game, albeit he played it with a torn ACL against the Patriots, but he went to one AFC title game. He was the one that just couldn't crack through. Ben was able to crack through. Obviously Peyton and Tom in that AFC, but he was the other really good quarterback that couldn't get through.
Which is why I say fake.
You say fake.
Yeah, play to win the game, boys.
I think you play to win the game.
I don't feel like him and Ben are that separate. But I do think the two Super Bowls are going to kind of change things for him and Ben. All right. Coming up as we continue, your chance for the second time in the show to win a 4-pack of VIP tickets to Texans training camp. We will do that coming up in the next segment. And Jerry's crazy ass being Jerry. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, Clint, guess what time it is?
3:43.
Yep, sure is. 3:43. That's exactly the time. It is 3:43. Tyler, guess what time it is?
I'll go a step further. 3:43:50. All
right. Well done. Well done.
Winner! But it is Texan training camp ticket time.
That's right, baby. Texans Ticket Tuesday, and every single hour you got a chance. Thanks, Champ Slice, for texting in 3:43. You got a chance to win a 4-pack of VIP tickets to Texans training camp. We've already hooked somebody up once in the 2 o'clock hour, and we are going to hook someone up right now. Caller number 4 for the great rookie season of Kamari Lassiter. Caller number 4, 713-572-4610. Tyler, do it. You look at me like that again, and we'll do it for the lone all pro from last year, and we'll really have to make you count it down if you want to mess with me. I'll go Will Anderson on your ass here in a second here. In the 50s here, but no. Caller number 4, 713-572-4610. Your chance to win a 4-pack of VIP tickets to Texans training camp. You can be a winner right now. Tyler will take care of you, caller number 4. I know practice, I believe, is open to the public on Saturday coming up, but a lot of times during
Saturday practice, huh?
Saturday practice. It's going to be a little warm now, but this is a year, Clint, we talked about it. You got a chance where it'll be fun to check out guys like Higgins you haven't seen, check out guys like Noel you haven't seen, see what kind of plays they make, see some guys who have taken some steps forward. Potentially see what maybe Brevin Jordan looks like coming out this year. CJ Gardner-Johnson, new players. So there's going to be a lot of things that people are going to be able to watch that's new. Nick Cayley, that's new. There's going to be a lot there. So it should be a fun potential camp being able to see these guys for the first
time. Yeah, look, I think for a lot of people, which this is the where I'm from, is getting an opportunity to go watch an NFL franchise in training camp and be up close, because you get up close, real up close and personal with all the players right there. I mean, that's just an experience of a lifetime. I mean, I remember going to I didn't have the luxuries of doing this. Folks just didn't have it the ability to do that. But I did get a chance to come to two Houston Oilers games back in the day in person, and I remember like it was yesterday. And this kind of opportunity, man, to come watch these guys practice up close and personal for just your casual fans, your kids, your parents, your get-out-of-the-house type fans, I think it's going to be awesome. And then, as you mentioned, there's some fans out there that are a little bit more invested in this thing and are up to speed on every signing, every new face, every rookie. How likely are those particular players to play and make the team and be impact players? And obviously there's a lot there in that category to watch as well if you're watching that kind of depth.
Yeah, so it should be fun. Our guy Ace. Tyler said Ace Ventura.
I said it was Ace, not Ventura, but our guy Ace. Yeah.
Ace is a winner. Really? It's a bit scary how much of that movie I know.
Same.
Very scary.
Wano Bowls.
I crushed like all the fast parts. Got them by heart. Haven't seen it in years. Got them by heart.
Collect the whole set.
When he comes to the door and he says, "What do you know about Ray Finkel?" I've got that entire part memorized. Anyway, congratulations to Ace. He is our 3 o'clock winner. We will do it again. 4 o'clock hour. 4 o'clock hour and 5 o'clock hour. Every single hour. Today, you have a chance to win tickets to go out and check out your Texans. VIP tickets. What do you think the VIP means?
It's our Sports Radio 610 VIP tent.
Yeah, oh, you got a tent. Yeah, ooh, you got a cover, too.
That top deck, baby.
That top deck. Okay.
That's clutch with that sun out there.
Yo, you ain't lying. That's a big deal there. So come on out and enjoy things. All right. That team up 45, they're actually in California, Clint. And They have already started training camp, which means that Jerry Jones has started to just be Jerry Jones. And he's Jerry Jones for no reason. Would you say Dak and Micah Parsons are his two premier players, I would say, at least most popular players. CeeDee Lamb's in there as well. Yeah, yeah. But those are his two guys. And obviously, he just signed Dak, who has the highest per year contract in the game, and he is about to sign, which most people leave Micah Parsons to, what I would imagine will be the highest non-quarterback contract. He'll probably pass T.J. Watt coming up when he does it. But they get into training camp, and he was posed several questions, this one in particular about how he is and how he goes about contracts of this magnitude with players like this, and then this is where he decides to take it on his own.
The other thing I would say is contracts are 4 or 5 years, okay? There's a lot of water under the bridge if you step out there and do something in the first 2 or 3. You can get hit by a car, seriously. And so there's a lot to look at over a lot of years that could make a big difference. Have you ever heard of any clubs committing to players and then they didn't pan out after they committed to them? We have.
There's Jerry.
We have.
Jerry acts like he's randomly talking about just the state of the league and handing out contracts. He's literally talking about the guy that he needs to be his leader on defense and the guy he just made the highest paid quarterback in the game.
Clint, get hit by a car.
And he was not shoved into this.
No, he's willing.
This is not one, well, guys, he was asked a question about. No one told him to take it into to get hit by a bus or you ever signed some players that didn't pan out? We have.
I'm saying
He also later just flat mentions Dak's name. Just, you know, we've had a player last year who missed several games. Dak Prescott. And we had just signed him.
I don't have time to have a bad time.
We know you don't. By the way, the best Texan of all time, arguably J.J. Watt, he responded. And Micah Parsons retweeted it. He said, boy, anytime you can publicly take a dig at your star quarterback and your star pass rusher simultaneously right before the season begins, you got to take it. Nothing makes a guy want to fight for you more than hearing how upset you are that he got hurt while fighting for you.
Come on, JJ.
Micah Parsons then retweets it out there. Clint, you know the man. That man signed you. That man hunted you down. That man's made calls to you. You worked for him. You played for him. What? Now, I know it's a few years, and maybe Jerry's a little older than what, in the 2000s. But what is his end game here? What is he trying to accomplish? And really, is this a big deal to you for the players?
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's a huge deal for the Cowboys. Look, I think because you can add to Jerry's comments there, you can also add as a side note here, cornerback Trevon Diggs is answering questions that hurt my feelings, that he's answering questions about the Cowboys deciding to dock him $500,000 for working out on his own instead of with the team this offseason.
Oh, it hurt his feelings.
So it hurt his feelings, right? This is a Cowboy issue. You start training camp. Like what? You start training camp over here with the Texans, it is going to be all ball. It is going to be all ball. Barring some one-off something with this Ward or something. You know, it is going to be all ball for the guys that matter.
What's your point?
And instead, you've got comments about Dak Prescott, which I think Dak is going to wear those comments and just keep it moving. Micah Parsons retweeting J.J. Watt stuff. Right. By the way, on the Micah Parsons front, Ed Warder just retweeted this. Micah Parsons said his agent, David Mulugeta, has reached out to the Cowboys front office and specifically Adam Persifka, but things aren't moving on extension talks. So you're dealing with that. And then all of a sudden over here on the side, you got your corner that you need to be the best player in your secondary. Not working out with the team and answering questions about how you find him because he wasn't working out with the team. This is typical Cowboys. It's just it's not the focus is not on football, and you can't tell me that it doesn't. They'll downplay it, but you can't tell me that it doesn't leak into the locker room and become a distraction.
I think there's one part because everybody's not the same. I think Dak has mastered this, and. For the Cowboys' sake, you hope Micah is thinking the same mindset. Like, we know that he's going to pay Micah Parsons. Like, just like we knew he was going to pay C.D. Lamb, and he knew he was going to pay Dak, but he just got to do stuff like
this. Don't tell me what I'm saying.
Like, he just got to do stuff this. And, like, if you're Micah, but I feel like Micah's different than Dak in his mindset, but if you're Micah, you just got to look at this and, like, okay. All right, old man going to just got to be the old man, but I don't give a damn as long as he go ahead and makes me the highest paid non-quarterback and defensive player out there. As long as he takes me on over T.J. Watt, that's all that matters. And for him, he's watched him do this to Dak and go ahead and pay Dak. He's watched him do this to CeeDee Lamb and then go ahead and pay CeeDee Lamb. So that, but clearly Michael, you know, retweeting J.J. Watt, yeah, I feel like Mike is a little bit more sensitive to that, and maybe there may be more problems. But I do think it is a good sign that Micah Parsons is continuing to be at camp. I'm surprised that he's not sitting that sucker out. And
if they don't get a deal done, I bet he don't finish camp.
You don't think? Oh, yeah.
There it was. Glory hole.
It's got to be close, right, for him to be there, be doing that, because it makes no sense.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it's just – I mean, they're fighting in camp. Jerry's spouting off in the press.
You can get hit by a car.
Diggs' feelings are hurt.
He better get out of the way of them fights, though.
His poor widow feelings are hurt.
Don't get them knees or them ankles tangled up for yourself. Yeah, you get yourself in any trouble.
Storyline after storyline. I can tell you that right there. It's boys in Dallas ain't never at a loss for words. That's for damn sure.
You get hit by a car.
All right, which space cowboy that we see on the diamond with the Astros right now has real staying power? We got guys to pick from. The most recent, Bryce Matthews, has a monster game last night for the Astros. Ron's got a strong opinion on this guy. We'll talk about that next right here on Sports Radio 610.